District. It is February 22nd, 2012, 6:30 p.m. If I could have a roll call, please.
President Guerrero.
Present.
Vice President Lucy.
Present.
Director Angelo.
Here.
Director Hurdle. Director Searcy.
Here.
We'll note that Director Hurdle is not present. She's ill tonight, so our thoughts and prayers are with her. Director Angelo is appearing telephonically. I do have, I will attach to the minutes, a photocopy of the notice that's posted in Birmingham, Alabama. Director Angelo, is there anybody present there for our meeting tonight besides yourself?
I have one person.
Okay.
And some going in and out.
All right. Thank you. If we could have the flag salute.
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving to agenda item number four, the agenda review. I will make one quick comment. The board of directors is sensitive and attentive to any criticism that's laid. We see no problem, and it doesn't mean we agree with all criticisms, doesn't mean we adopt it, but we see no problem in making public comment go after the staff report before the board discussion. And so from now on, starting tonight, right now, we will have public comment after the staff report.
Would it be correct to put that in a motion that I move that we adopt the agenda with the structural changes that that the president has spelled out, which would be that we would go in the order under each item as a staff report, director report, discussion, and then open it up for public comment, come back to the board. And if it's an action item, then we'll take action. And if it's not an action, well, either way, we got to point it in a certain direction. So I move that we accept the agenda with the structural changes.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Searcy?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director.
Item is public comments. I do have a comment I wanted to make before that. That's actually would be board member comment. Is there any request for public comment?
Manager, yeah, we have several people for public comment. We'll start with Jeff Edwards.
Good evening, Jeff.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. President, board members. This is Jeff Edwards, and I wanted to applaud the board for taking the extra effort at your meeting on February 8th to draft the seawater intrusion letter. I think it was a good letter. I did have a couple questions. It wasn't indicated whether or not it was widely distributed in terms of your fellow Northern Cities Management Area members or the Central Coast Water Authority or some of those agencies. So I'd encourage you to distribute that as quickly as possible. As you may know, the following Tuesday was the Board of Supervisors, that is on February 14th, and that they considered in the afternoon the Master Water Plan for the county, which, as you may know, is a blueprint for the future of our county and the respective communities in terms of water resources. And I think I pointed out at your last meeting that there were 10 to 12 pages of references to seawater intrusion in the Master Water Plan. And I made those observations at the board meeting. And the fact of the matter is that there are a number of problems with the Master Water Plan. So ironically, I think they're going to change the name of it from plan to study. Apparently, this is how they intend to avoid having to go back and correcting the numerous mistakes there are, especially with regard to Oceano and there are some other communities. Also, I would like to note Mike Wynn was there, and he expressed concerns about your community being in denial. So I'm not sure what that meant exactly. But in any event, I also want to reference the CCWA and their continuing consideration of the pipeline, excess pipeline capacity water. That was heard at the Zone 3 in January, and Pavel Ogren provided an update on that. So I'd keep your eye on that. I'll refer to that excess capacity water a little later in connection with the Arroyo Grande matter. And I'd just like to conclude by mentioning you really have five sources of water. It was mentioned there were extra money to go back and correct it. So this is their way of dealing with it. I don't think it's the best way to deal with it, but that's the Board of Supervisors' decision.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards.
Thank you.
Just one question. Do they know if they plan on it being an ethnographic study or just a straight? Well, I guess I could talk to you later.
Saw the binder. You know, they have a big binder.
Yeah, I know the study. You know, so.
Thanks.
Thank you,
Mr. Edwards. Mr. Gieselin, is there another public comment?
Yeah, Julie Tacker.
Ms. Tacker?
Good evening, I am Julie Tacker and I am from Los Osos. The Brown Act does not require me to tell you that, but I'm sharing that because I think you probably already knew that. It's also known that you were served a cure and correct letter by Kevin P. Rice on Monday, February 20th. That was a holiday, so you had all day yesterday to take it under submission, and your staff could have done something about it. You had until 6:30 p.m. last evening, where ideally you would have addressed his concerns regarding the continued contract for Mr. Gieselin, the raise in pay, and the rollover into general manager come June. The issues that he brought up that happened at the end of your February 8th meeting. You had until 6:30 last night, 24 hours before this meeting, that you actually could have posted a special meeting to run concurrent with this meeting, adding that item and putting all of this to bed. You didn't do that, so I'm submitting my own cure and correct letter to further demand that you nullify those actions on February 8th, and I go one step further and request that no payment be processed until the public is able to see Mr. Gieselin's contract and comment on it in open session. Additionally, know more about the California Public Records Act. Know more about the Freedom of Information Act. These are different laws that you must follow. What I also am interested in the future, you have your bylaws. Those are other governing laws. But somewhere, and I haven't seen or heard reference to it, you likely have a district code. So as we all get educated on issues surrounding Oceano and its governance, it would be prudent to bring all of these items forward and continue to learn as you are all serving your public.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other public comment, Mr. Gieselin?
Yes, there are. John Carter.
Excuse me, can you have him turn the volume up or directly into the microphone, please?
I'll see what I can do here, Lori.
I think she wants the public to be right into the microphone.
Good evening, Mr. Carter.
Okay, my name is John Carter. I'm a resident of Oceano. The comment, it's more of a question of procedure and process that I have. It has to do with the discussion that the lady just before me spoke to. I would like to better understand how people are given raises and promotions within the Oceano Community Services District. And I'd also like to understand if that flows down to other people within the Oceano Community Service District as well. And that's my only question at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Carter.
Next, we have Mr. William Smith.
William Smith, Oceano. Good evening,
Mr. Good evening.
Gleason, the President, and the Board. My comment tonight is to Jeff and his other half. It should be understood now that we are going to hire Mr. Gleason as our GM. So that puts one thing out of their question, is if they want another election to run, how come they didn't submit their name 6 months ago? And they're just now bitching about it. And
from the Everyday Church?
I think that was sent in late.
Well, I'd just like to recognize it. That's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. Director Lucy or Vice President Lucy, do you have any comment?
No.
Director Angela, do you have any comment?
No.
Okay, Bill. I don't think your 3 minutes were up.
Julie, you and Jeff claim to be advocates for the people of Oceano. I'm 83 years old and out of kindergarten. I think everybody else in this room is, too. So why do you keep at it? Why don't you just stay away? Period.
Receiving any communication or any reading any newspaper articles, I had already made a decision that we would make a motion to vacate the action taken regarding Tom Gieselin's review. Pardon? For next time agendas. Right, I wanted to put it on.
But you can put it on the agenda for next
time. Right, and so we were going to put it on the agenda. I wanted to announce the two things. And one was to take a void to the action, and the second one was to add a review of his position. And that would be on the next board meeting's agenda. That's the end of board comments. Moving on to item number 7, report of OCSD operations. Manager Gieselin.
Thank you, Chairman Guerrero, board of directors, people of Oceano. In light of the recent events that we've had, the only thing I can say is when I stepped into this job, this place was a three-ring circus. News outlets have printed stuff that is totally inaccurate, totally false, and but I'm a big boy, and I can take it. And I get offended when they pick on the board, and they use false things on the board because they didn't have the personal ethics or moral conviction to come in and discuss it. I've had people come in madder than hell, and when they've left the office, I've got thank you cards 2 days later. My office has always been open, and I've always been there. And I want to remind you and everybody in this room that when this position came open as interim general manager, I wrote the following letter. Dear Board of Directors, I am offering my services to fill your pressing need for an interim general manager. I have carefully examined the situation and firmly believe that I will be able to turn around your organization and provide its desperate needs. I have over 30 years of business management experience. In an attachment, you will find my resume and proposed plan to put the operation on track. I am willing to make a six-month to a year commitment, and I underline that, a 6-month to a year commitment in this worthwhile endeavor. The primary goal will be to restore the efficiency, solvency, and public trust of the OCSD, and then assist you in finding a capable, permanent GM replacement. You guys interviewed 6 other people. As I understand it, I was the only one that came with a plan. You asked me to come and do this. We talked about what I wanted for requirements to be paid. I reduced it because of the need, because we thought we were insolvent, and we thought we were on death's door, and the county was going to take this back, and all the people in Oceana would have lost their water rights. In the day one, I came in here, and day one I was in court settling something that should have never even been to court. But certain people in this room think that they know what's going on, and instead of calling for the facts, they put out a bunch of garbage. And the other thing that irritates me, they can't even get my damn name right, which insults my mother and father because they gave it to me. That being said, I am willing to make a 6-month to a year commitment. Hey, what's going on? Can you tell me about this? And then I find out that while I'm working away, that they're calling other agencies trying to find out whether I've done what I said I'm doing. When every meeting I've reported on what we've been doing, backed it up with evidence, and we've returned to the solvency. Everything's been paid in 15 days or less. We had $380,000 of past due commitments that were over 180 days out when I stepped into this position, and they're all current. We've managed our water rights to the best of our ability. We've taken and tried to get 2.5 years of mismanagement and put it in place and get it right so it returns to the efficiency that it is. We have people coming in every single day saying, we're so glad you're here, you turned it around, and after 6 months we fall under attack. Well, I'm a big boy. Bring it on. Give me everything you got. If you want to destroy me personally, let it happen. But I care about the people of Oceano. I care about their water rights, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes in this 6 month to a year. They misquoted the salary that was discussed, and I'm going to be real blunt. I've made $48,000 so far, and that would have put the next 6 months would have been 60. For $108,000, you would have got this district turned around. I don't see where that's inequitable. I don't see where people have to go misquote all this stuff. I take no benefits. I ask for no other quarter. I do what's required. And I am not going to take this lying down. And when they go through me or try to embarrass me to embarrass you, I take it personal. Should I? I don't know. But I'm a big boy. Here's my face. Come on and punch it out. But don't tie it behind my back by going on the radio and saying a whole bunch of stuff that's not true and incur that this staff has done something illegal by covering something up. Don't come and say that we've misappropriated funds. Don't come into that. None of it's true. The day I got here, I got all these calls. Oh, $6 million is gone. Well, yeah, on the surface, it looked like $6 million was gone. And then I came to this board and I said, $6 million isn't gone. Nobody closed the books for 2.5 years. So it looks like there's $6 million there. No money walked out the door. It's all supposition. But I take what people give me, I distill it, and I respond on the facts. People say we're covering up stuff. We're not covering up stuff. People are entitled to due process. And so I take the facts. Here, they're working their tail off, too. That being said, my report for OCSD
Tom,
is
can
the...
can I interject one thing?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Respond,
thank you. What I think, what Tom is saying, and it speaks for all of us, is we're trying to do the right things in the right way for the right reason. And that is happening. And the condition of this board, the condition of this staff, compared to what it was 1 year ago, is it's a full 180 degrees. And you can ask anybody on the fire department, you can ask the sanitation district, you can ask the RAC, you can ask Zone 1, you can ask Zone 3, you can ask whoever you want, and they will tell you the same thing. And that this board and this management and this staff has come a long, long way. And it is coming out of left field, and it's unwarranted, and the facts aren't all out there because, as Tom said, we are not there to assassinate other people's characters. And so I, on behalf of myself, I have full faith in Manager Gieselin, and I thank you for your service.
So back to my report.
I just like to take...
When I'm finished, Bill.
Tom, just let me comment on this, because I was going to comment under the Personnel Committee about this, right? Because of the rumors and stuff happening out there, is that, you know, I don't know what happens to this town, and I don't think it happens to the people in the town. I think it's a small handful of people that just have to feed off drama on a really elementary level. And yeah, it's hard not to take it personal. I get tore up constantly. Every time I open my mouth, I get tore up, right? You know, and if we wanted a well-polished politician in this town, trust me, we could have picked anyone up on any corner. What we wanted was leadership. And that's what I saw in you as chair of the Personnel Committee. You know, so what I have to ask the community of Oceano is that, and I was going to do this under the Personnel, is that people are having a fit even discussing a contract. Do you want to go through a long, lengthy, expensive, drawn-out process? Or do you want to say, thank you for walking into our town, now let's work out a contract that's decent? You know, it really infuriates me that they didn't say you didn't get health insurance in that article. You know, they attacked everything else. They had no details because it goes on gossip from out of...
You want me to continue?
Thank you, Tom. Okay.
I'm going to, in the future, instead of giving an oral report, my report will be, which is always published on the website, will be my Friday report. It gives the full financials of where we are.
Right.
It gives the general administration key points. It gives the field operation key points. It gives litigation. And it discusses the Sand District, which we are an equal member in, and covers all that activity. For those of you that sat through that, I apologize that I raised my voice, but I'm at a point where I'm digging in and ready to continue what I'm doing. It should be pointed out that there was discussion of a contract, but I refuse to go forward with it because of what I originally committed. And I have committed to giving you another 6 months to make it. I'm a little disappointed I didn't get paid, but that's okay. There will be another time, and there will be another day. I will ask John, you stop by the office, and I will gladly go through our procedures for payment and the whole thing. And there will be changes made there within 6 months because there's stuff there that needs to be fixed as well. But we took things in the level of priority. And the main thing was ensuring the solvency of this district so that nobody could take away your water rights. Oceano had the brilliance to go out and get multiple sources of water, and all this had to do was to stumble. It would go to the county, and then the county would take it back, and the city of Oceano, the township of Oceano, would lose its water rights. And I believe there's three or four people just lining up to come over and say, well, we'll annex them in and take it, and then who wins? Right? I'm a Napomo kid, but I've learned to love Oceano. And I will do whatever it takes to improve this city. You guys have all seen me out and about. If there's any questions, I'm there to answer them. You may not get that answer right then and there, but you will get that answer. Okay, with that, I'm open for public comment.
Is there any public comment on this, Tom?
Yeah, there are.
I still have some time.
Do you have a new public comment, Bill? We're on
a
new topic
now. You're supposed to fill out a sheet for a new deal.
Well, we recycle sheets.
We recycle them.
Okay, first up on 7 would be Jeff Edwards.
Mr. Edwards?
I'll bring you next to
it. Prepare of what I have to say. But Jeff and Julie, down in Los Osos, they have a hell of a time down there. Why don't you go down there and advocate your energy and down there? You do a lot better down there than you will up here. And Mr. Gibson on the Board of Supervisors might welcome you with open arms, really. And let's go back to I'll say 1940. If you remember, the FBI was investigating a lot of people. They locked a lot of people up. A couple of them were electrocuted, a man and a wife, and they were known as communists back in those days. And these two sound an awful lot like that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment, Mr. Gieslin?
I guess Ms. Tacker is approaching the microphone.
Ms. Tacker, do you have public comment?
I would like to speak to item 7 and the grandstanding that Mr. Gieslin just did. I have an email from Mr. Gieslin dated Monday, October 24th, 2011. I had asked to see his contract. I had asked to see the open hiring that we're talking about now that you didn't do in June. He gave me minutes of the June meeting, and it was done in closed session. Mr. Gieslin was hired in closed session at that time. The Brown Act is what I'm advocating for, and the rules are very clear that the hiring be done in public. Mr. Gieslin's email to me says, I do not have a contract with the OCSD. I was hired as a consultant for a flat monthly fee to turn this entity around. He doesn't say what the fee is, and the only evidence of a fee is in your monthly warrants. Checks of $3,875 every couple of weeks. So I don't know what the flat fee is. Apparently it's $108. And the action on February 8th would be $10,000 a month. That's easy math. That's $120,000. And what my complaints have been to process and procedure. And I know Ms. Lucy is a big all I need to say right now.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Is there any other public comment, Mr. Gieslin?
Yes, Linda Austin, please.
Ms. Austin? Good evening.
Good evening, President Guerrero. My name's Linda Austin. I'm Oceano resident, and I just came here tonight to show my support for our general manager, Mr. Gieslin, and for this board and staff that... And the last, since he's been here, the progress and the way this board has been moving forward has been a real blessing to us that live here in Oceano. I couldn't be more prouder of this board or this manager and this staff. And I just want to tell you all how much I appreciate all your efforts. And I'm sorry that these things have come up. But I was just thinking about it today, and it just came to me. There was an old General Stilwell in World War II, and his motto was, don't let the bastards grind you down. And that's just what I want to say to you guys. Just keep up the good work. We're very, very happy that people that live in Oceano.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Austin. Is there any public comment, Mr. Gieslin?
No, there's no more at this time.
Okay, we'll move on to report of directors and outside.
Bring it back to the board.
Oh, I'm sorry. Bring it back to the board. Rick, go ahead.
I do have a... first of all, I'd like to make a motion to approve the general manager's operational report.
Do we need a motion on that?
I don't think. I would suggest that it just be discussion and that we don't take action items tonight, that we don't vote on things of relevance. Because
Felma's not here?
Because Felma's here. So if we could just table voting on the approval of the minutes, the reports and stuff. That way she has a choice. I mean, what's legal counsel think? Is that...
Well, it's an item agenda. Shouldn't it be...
You can do that. You can vote. You have enough to vote. It has to be by roll call because Lori's telephonic. But you can table anything.
Okay. Well, if you're comfortable
can always
with
do
it...
more than required.
Well, my concern...
I just want everybody to be comfortable with it.
We're going to need to give the board direction. There's a fire department meeting. It's just item 10A. There's going to be a fire department meeting on Friday.
Oh.
And so...
Okay.
That's my concern with that.
We'll take it.
Okay. that was my first thing. The other comment that I would have coming back to the board is, you know, my understanding of the Brown Act is that when the board comes out of closed session, that it reports an action that the board has made, but it doesn't require the board to give the report the decision that the board has made in closed session, not the details. And so you want to go out there and you want to try to find the details, then you better run for office, get elected, and be able to sit inside the closed session yourself.
Or appointed, as the case may be.
Yes, but appointed, as the case may be.
We'll move on to item 7B, report of board of directors and outside committees. Director Searcy, you had the floor last. Why don't I go to you first?
I have none.
Okay. Vice President Lucy.
Been a busy 2 weeks for me, but I'll try to make it quick. I attended a sponsored session by Mr. Blakesley from Sacramento on SB 964, SB 965, and I'm not too clear on the other one what it entails because it's not numbered yet, so I can't really reference it yet. But there was several speakers from the chamber and stuff, and really it has a lot to do with the farmers and the runoff water and how the state is going to really mandate that we direct our runoff water here relatively soon, by 2015. And I'm not quite sure how that's going to be carried out, nor does anybody else, but people are talking about that. And so I thought that was very, very informative. I attended a meeting with the Zone 3 administrator with the county and Planning Works. As you know, Zone 3 is facilitated and staffed through the county in the Planning Department, Public Works, excuse me, I take that back, in Public Works through Pablo Ogren's office and Dean Benedict's. And so Zone 3 bylaws haven't been reviewed since like 85 or something like that. I made three recommendations that I'd like to run by the board. And that there are seven seats on the Zone 3. Two of them are at-large seats that do not have any term limit on them. They're usually held by engineers and agriculture, and they've been held by mainly the same, particularly in the engineer section, by the same person for Zone 3, overseeing the Lopez Dam stuff since its inception. We have never, ever been invited to chair that meeting. Arroyo Grande, one of the at-large seats, and Grover Beach have manipulated the chairmanship of the board since its inception. So I've also made a recommendation that it be a rotation and that every chair get an opportunity to chair the meeting. For a year. The third one is rewriting the bylaw, the mission statement. And I kind of felt like when I kept sitting down to write this, I felt like it was being done in an arbitrary fashion. And I thought, for being such a short paragraph, basically a mission statement is to drive what your scope of work is, you know. And I felt like it was something that the zone as a whole should probably craft. And so I'm going to take that back and have them. I did their bylaws and now they can write their mission statement. Worked with Mr. Gieslin very closely on the Zone 3 budget. We found several discrepancies in the Zone 3 budget. He made contact with the county and communicated our concerns. As you'll remember, in the past, the bond was refinanced to a 0% interest rate almost, and Oceana being behind on their audits was informed that we could not refi because of the audits. When I talked to a bond agent, we wouldn't have been a lead on that bond to begin with. The county basically did a hard money loan at 4.59% for Oceano. So we came out having an increase of $44,000 and the other entities that were able to refi the bond had no change. I find that extremely troubling, since we would not have been on the loan application to begin with. But when the finance officer for the county comes out and says, well, you would have, you know, well, what do you say? So I think the board did what they could at that time. Met at the Board of Supervisors, presented Oceano, the board's, I use the word Wallace Group. So I apologize to the board.
It needs to be pointed out that it wasn't Wallace Engineering, it was Todd Engineering.
Same thing. Todd Engineering, I didn't mention. So, okay, so I'll stand double corrected. But the point being is that the engineer was not listed in the letter that the board had charged me with delivering. So, oops. And then I met with the supervisor one-on-one on Thursday, talked about the water master plan / study / permanent job. I was somewhat concerned that there's plenty of really good sound data regarding saltwater intrusion up and down the coast of California. It's well documented. It's got the stamp of the federal government on it. It's good old research. But the research they're using for saltwater intrusion has holes in it, and that they have other great points out there that they could use that wouldn't come under question. And so I begged them to just take that out of the plan. It is referenced, as many people have pointed out, Mr. Edwards, particularly on numerous pages. You'd think the plan was built on that point alone. I didn't say that. But anyway, so as you can see, I had a really busy week, and now I'm going to schedule a personnel committee meeting. So it'll be posted on the window the minute I find some space on my calendar. I'll post it. I'll make an announcement, and I'll even go on the radio.
I attended the Sanitation District on Wednesday, February 15th. A couple items that are of interest. One was the mid-year budget review. The Sanitation District's running about $109,000 over budget at the mid-year budget review. There was two main reasons. One is legal expenses.
How much is the attorney budget important? Just the attorney.
You know, I didn't bring that.
It's $230,000.
Is it
$230,000? I don't know. Somewhere around there. It's way up there.
Well, they're over budget. The other thing was is they are self-insured for workers' comp, and they had a workers' comp issue with a gentleman who was out but is back now. And that was the big thing. The other side of that budget, though, is that just in chlorine use alone, the sanitation district is saving $500 a day due to they thought they owned part of the lagoon at the sanitation plant, a little triangle. It actually belongs to the county. They had the surveyors out there. Next meeting is next Wednesday, and that'll be here at 6 o'clock. It hasn't happened yet, but I'd like to point out a couple of things. One is the official swearing-in ceremony for tomorrow morning. It starts at 11:15. Is that right, Chief Aronis?
11:45.
11:45. Okay, then I shouldn't be too late. 11:45 tomorrow at the fire station, the headquarters, right, down in Roy Grandy? Correct. And that goes until about 1 o'clock, so I'd welcome and encourage everybody to come. And then there's a fire board meeting on Friday at 3 o'clock, which we will talk about in just a minute. So, and those are all my reports.
President Groh, just for historical things, I thought Mr. Wallace had reported, you know, maybe 6 years back, right, 7 years back, that triangle, which they use for drying beds, right, mm-hmm. was grandfathered. The county had gifted it to the sand district.
It's not the triangle that's used for drying beds. It's part of the lagoon and some wetlands area. Yes.
The far end of the airport, right?
It's at the end of the airport, yes, but it's not the drying beds. I know where you're talking about.
Okay.
It's definitely not the drying beds.
Okay.
Yeah. Moving on to item number 9, cash disbursements. I did make one request, and it was to, for the time being, remove the... It was done? Okay. So I'll entertain them. Is there any discussion or public comment? Is there any public comment on the cash disbursements?
Yeah, there's Jeff Edwards.
All right. Mr. Edwards?
Thank you, Mr. President, board members. I wanted to comment briefly on the Zone 1-1A meeting from yesterday and also a little bit on the Sand District. Yesterday, Zone 1-1A did meet, and it's pretty clear that relative to this winter, and since we haven't had a lot of rain, and it may not be a big deal, but the county has no plans in place. The pipe and pump at Juanita, that's off the table for now. The reed management strategy, it appears there is a permit on file with the Coastal Commission. Doesn't look like they're going to get to it maybe till April or maybe even May, so I'm not sure that will even be available. They talked about a basin on the airport, a storage basin for water that's supposed to address the Highway 1 and 13th Street flooding issue. They intend to take that to the advisory council. I think it'd be good. It's problematic in terms of trying to make a nexus to connect money that's available to solutions. Secondly, on the Sand District, I wanted to just mention that Wallace, and indeed John Wallace and Mike Seitz, are making considerable money on the whole notice of violation that is surrounding the spill that occurred on December 19th, 2010. It looks to me like the fines are going to be in the neighborhood of $4.5 million. Oceano's portion of that is $1.5 million. I'm not sure, Mr. President, you may know whether there is insurance to cover that $1.5 million for Oceano or perhaps the Sand District Reserves or what the situation is on that. And that's all I have for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards.
We have Karen White.
Karen White.
You're good?
Okay, Karen. I apologize. I went to cash disbursements prior to public comment. I apologize. Okay. So we'll close out item 8. Move again. I'm sorry, to cash disbursements. Is there any public comment about cash disbursements?
Yeah, Jeff Edwards.
Jeff? Mr. Edwards is passing.
Julie Tacker.
Julie?
Julie Tacker again, and I am speaking to item 9. I just want to get clarification because I don't think you completely finished your sentence, but I'm understanding, is it just President Guerrero that has asked that the actions of February 8th be vacated and that this check or this disbursement number I-196 for Mr. Gieslin from... It's a retro pay from January 1, 2012 to February 15, 2012 for $3,375 is not going to go forward. I just want confirmation of that.
That's correct. That's what we're pulling at this time.
Thank you. And then not knowing when to ask this question, I was wondering where your public records request revenues go, and the reason I ask, in the last several weeks I've asked for some things electronically because there's no copying cost. The documents are generally already in electronic format, saves a stamp, and Mr. Gieslin, and again I'd have to look at further into your vote, it costs the district to send me my request. When I simply asked for them electronically, the government code actually invites districts and governments to provide your requests via electronic mail. And so I just wondered where the revenues go, because you guys are going to lose on this one. So I didn't know where else to ask. So that's why I chose under cash disbursements.
Well, thank you for bringing that up. I've actually thought a little bit about that, and I don't know if you've been involved in time studies, but it's staff time studies. So, Matt, so if you have a high-level staff person who's scanning and electronically sending all those documents, and it takes them an hour and a half to scan all those pages and send them in, then that's probably what I'll make a board recommendation to the board is based on the staff time that was spent electronically sending them. But it'll be brought out, and a nice policy will be written, and it'll have 6 draft forms. And trust me, we'll kill a lot of trees behind it.
there any board comment regarding the cash disbursements?
I have none.
All right. So do I have a motion to approve?
Also move.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All right. Can I get a roll call vote, Carolyn? Yes.
Director Searcy?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes. The motion carries 4-0 through the warrants. Moving on to items 10A, the fun one for the night. Discussion and recommendation regarding formation of a fire protection district and adoption of a fire suppression benefit assessment by the Five Cities Fire Authority. I'd like to welcome our new chief, Chief Aranez.
Welcome.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Board President and Board members. Joel Aranez, Fire Chief, Five Cities Fire Authority. This is a continuation item from the February 8th board meeting where we were discussing the continued study towards a benefit assessment tax and or the formation of a fire protection district. At that evening meeting, you received the report and you've had a couple of weeks to look that over. There were a number of questions put forth by the board. We attempted to answer those in the updated staff report. Unfortunately, the Arroyo Grande City Council was not interested in going forward with the benefit assessment district and or the formation of a fire protection district. They did state, however, that it is at this time that they're not interested. They would be willing to look at it at a future date, which was left as just that, a future date, and nothing was decided on beyond that. After that meeting, we went last night to the Grover Beach City Council meeting, and it, again, was a continuation item. At that meeting, it was voted unanimously to move forward with the study for a benefit assessment tax, and at some point in the future, to still look at the possibility of moving from a joint powers authority to a fire protection district. And that was the direction given to the Grover Beach board member to carry forth to the authority board meeting this Friday. So we're back to you tonight to get your direction. You're the third and final piece of this study to get direction as to where we're going to go with the authority board on Friday. So with that, any other questions that you might have or anything that I can discuss with you, I'd be happy.
I would, it's kind of a setup and a softball here, but if you talk to the Firefighters Union, what is their position regarding a benefit assessment versus a special district?
The association does support the benefit assessment as an enhancement to services. The assessment, as you know through your report, is looking at a $1.2 million assessment, mm-hmm. and that assessment will go for three engineers for the Oceano Station here, which they do not have at this point. It will go towards a capital replacement fund, which the authority does not have at this point, and some also capital replacement. It is my belief that without an identified revenue source that is stable over the years and without a capital replacement fund, it's going to make doing business very difficult for the authority when it comes time to update fire stations to meet NFPA standards on money that the three entities place into the budget for the authority. That would require further discussion.
Do you know if, it's not my turn to make comment yet, but if we decide to support a benefit assessment and moving forward with that, that would be two entities, not all three. Is it required to be unanimous, or would that be the necessary quorum at the Fire Authority meeting on Friday?
It's not required. However, it's my belief that without a unanimous support of this, if the Arroyo Grande City Council does not come out in favor of it and support this, it would be difficult to come back from the voters with a 50 or 51% approval rating. It would be my fear that if we move forward without unanimous support, that we could be spending money and not prevail at the other end.
If we put this forward and two jurisdictions decide to go forward with a benefit assessment, and what do you think? I mean, you were at the meeting. What do you think the odds of the political winds blowing a direction that would bring them around to support the benefit assessment for the benefit of the fire department, the firefighters, local employment, local jobs, head of household type jobs? I mean, what do you think that is?
Judging from their response on the meeting of the February 14th, I just don't think they would support it. They made it very clear that they're not supportive of it at this time. We can further look at that, I don't think they're going to change their mind in the very near future. I think we would have a better chance of coming back at some point and point out the needs of this. I think the authority can put forth a compelling case for the need for the money.
Right.
I don't think that's an issue, but getting full support for it by all three entities, I think, is critical.
One other thing, I'm sure it's on behalf of our board, we'd like to see a third guy on the fire truck here in Oceano. Even if it's a firefighter, not an engineer, we'd like to see the third guy. If the board decides to go forward with the benefit assessment, does it have to be this year? Does it have to be on this November's ballot, or could we all say we're in support of it and then it'd be on 2013's ballot?
That's correct. There's no timeline for this. We can put that forth at any point in time. What prompted this, it goes way back to the steering committee when they started looking at this, that was the progression that this was going to take from the beginning.
And I know this is contained in your supplemental staff report. We did have a staff report at the last OCSD meeting that we went over. Chief Heath reviewed that with us, and that's why it was continued for today. We have more information here with where the money would be spent. Is there a recommendation from staff as to how you would like to see this board vote?
My recommendation would be to wait till we have buy-in 100% from all three entities. We have spent $30,000 in the polling of this process so far. I would hate to go forward and spend more money without the complete support of all three entities. I do not want to put something forward to the voters unless I have a very good feeling that we are going to prevail. I don't think we can prevail without full support.
Is there any other questions?
I couldn't agree with you 100% on that. I wholeheartedly agree. And unfortunately, David Angelo isn't available to speak to the historical part. But I was wondering if you were able to find out if there was a five-year time and Oceana's participation in the JPA, because I remember there was discussion, but I don't remember what the outcome was.
I read through the contract, and each entity can opt out with 12 months' notice.
Okay, but at a certain point, do they have to say, you can't keep opting in and out, or you can't, Can you be into it for 20 years and then say, oh, by the way, we're done now?
Yes.
Oh, really? Look at that again. Okay, thank you so much.
I didn't see a date in there for how long the JPA would be in existence. That, mm-hmm. I believe, is
No, open-ended. It was exactly what you said, yeah. But I didn't know they had had the other entities do that too as well.
Yes, all three entities have that 12-month opt-out.
Okay. And I'm really glad to hear that, that Abel's still.
Yeah. I think one of my questions was, is that
but he's still
well-distinguished. What was the cost of putting this initiative on the ballot?
We don't have a total cost yet. We have a cost for the fire protection district it could run up to $50,000 to $75,000 until we get an engineer on contract. We just have that ballpark figure. Like I say, to this point on the benefit assessment, we have spent $30,000, and it's not to the ballot yet.
All right. Well, and then the other question was, Mary, I was curious if that five-year term limit was in that contract. I just like to say for myself, this particular director, I think I am for, a benefit assessment for the fire department, because I understand what it takes to provide those services. And I think it's a wise move on your part that not to move forward until you have all three entities in this JPA to go forward. But I'm not really convinced, or I at this time, I'm not, I don't feel that a special district is warranted to proceed, in an assessment district. I think that would just add to the cost of creating another special district. It puts the question out there of local control. But I applaud you for, putting your best foot forward, and I'm sure that Oceano is willing to, assist you and do what it can to help the fire department. Like I said last time, we've always been proud of the services that we have here in this community, and so we would like to see, a little bit more personnel down here, and we're just going to have to sit down, roll up our sleeves, and pencil out and find a way to get it down here. So,
well, I think it's important for the board to put forth their feelings and their convictions to carry that to the authority board meeting on Friday. If you support a benefit assessment district, I think that needs to be communicated. If you support the benefit assessment district at a future point in time, I think that needs to be communicated as well. Because that's essentially what Arroyo Grande was saying.
And paid cash for equipment as needed, including our one fire truck there that is now getting a little bit older. I don't have a big problem with assessment. I have a problem with how the money gets spent, and are we overspending on the some of the items may be lifted. I don't know about personnel. I think we're pretty well off with personnel. We might need more firefighters, engineers, and that type of thing. I'm not real critical on. I had to think really hard to give up to the JPA powers when it started, and I felt it was probably the best for the community, but at heart I really wanted to keep it to ourselves because it's always been our fire department. But now I see it as an extension to our fire department. However, I'm not real sure this is a good time to bring this forward. It's still a pretty new unit in itself.
Okay, a clarification on one point when you say, are we overspending? And I want to make it very clear, no, we are not overspending. We are right on point with our budget to this point in the budget year and the fiscal year. So, no, we're not over budget. We're right where we need to be.
And Oceano isn't losing out on anything currently, how you're running operations. We're not, the staffing is not being shortened in the areas, right?
No, we have 8 personnel on duty per day, okay. And Oceano has a complement of 2. We have a captain and a firefighter. There is no engineer per se here at that rank.
Okay.
And which is what this would help fund.
Right.
Would be additional staff in Oceano.
Yeah. Oh.
I have feelings about this, but I think, are you done? I'm sorry.
No, I actually am kind of like on the AG side. A little bit more time with the JPA, and certainly you settling in and becoming more and more familiar with all the players and everything, I would be willing to entertain an assessment in the future. But at this time, I think I'm going to stick with AG.
Let's turn to public comment, and then we'll have board discussion.
Yeah.
And unless the chief has anything else you'd like to add? Thank you, chief. No. Will we turn to public comment? Is there any public comment on this?
Yes, Julie Tacker.
Good evening again.
Good evening, Julie.
I one seat for, I think you said that you'd be disappointed if Oceano only had one in a board of five. As I got to thinking about it, the way that special districts run, there's really no rule of where you live, and that you could have a board made up from all of one community. And so I wondered if that had been hashed out or been part of the LAFCO discussion, and certainly should be further vetted. And then I mentioned this 2 weeks ago and wondered if you had considered asking CAL FIRE for a proposal. They do not solicit proposals. You would have to go to them. And they are they laughed when I said this. I coined the phrase the Costco of firefighting. And if you had...
You have to speak up, ma'am. I'm sorry, I really can't hear you.
Oh, I'm having some difficulty also.
Can you speak up a little, Julie?
Sure.
I'm trying.
Okay.
I don't know if the mic's picking you up or not.
Okay. A little closer to the mic.
Yeah, I think it might be. I've never had problems before.
Okay. So, again, the question was, had CAL FIRE been considered? And if it hadn't, perhaps you should pursue that. Your five cities authority could raise that question. And with the money that you have, CAL FIRE can give you a proposal for the services that they offer. So I just think for your ratepayers, you don't want to rule that out.
Right. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment?
Karen.
Good evening, Karen.
Good evening, Karen White, Halcyon, 1566 Hiawatha Lane. 50 years ago, we had CAL FIRE. Something like that. I don't know the exact date. And we used to wait and wait and wait and watch houses burn down as they came from the Mesa and they came from San Luis and they came from wherever they came. That's why the Oceano Fire Department was founded. The Oceano Fire Department was founded and it morphed into a community services district. So let's look back at our history and know why we have our own fire department. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
Is there any public comment?
No more public comment this time.
I think my comment, I've been working with this, I think, since about March or April of last year, and working with it wouldn't be the right tree, but I think we could take a policy position that we're in support of a benefit assessment. As a property owner, I'm in support of that. One of the advantages of a benefit assessment is it does look like a tax. It is an additional expense that's on your bill. The proposal is about it's a little over $90 per year. So $93 per year per property. The property owners are the ones that get to vote on this, I believe. And it's local control of tax dollars. It also brings head of household money. It brings professional services into our neighborhoods, professional operators, professional employees. And so the fire department also, if you read the second staff report, their first staff report was submitted at the February 8th meeting. This is the second staff report. It identifies where this money will go. Three engineers, three firefighters. Are the additional personnel, capital replacement items, fire apparatus, other capital items replacement. And if there's a fund that's built up, we don't end up in a position where we're borrowing money to buy equipment, and I think that's important. So from my perspective, having been on the board, I will be at the board this Friday. I will be there tomorrow when Chief Aranas is officially has the swearing-in ceremony. I think that we, as the Oceano District, should support a benefit assessment. I would shy away from the special district at this time just because of a local control issue. I think that Oceano wants to keep its fingers in the pie, and that's my recommendation.
So you're actually recommending the board make a policy then?
That we as a policy, we make a decision that we would support a benefit assessment. I think that's a policy decision.
You're saying now, though,
I'm saying,
not in the future.
I'm saying now with giving the district the fire board authority and the administration, the JPA, the ability in the future when the winds are right, when the political winds are blowing the right direction.
I can't have it both ways. Sorry.
Well, why not? Why can't we say we're in support of it now? And
then your motion will be, now, and if it passes, it passes, right. And then you can do another one that says in the future, it passes. But you got it one or the other.
Why can't we just say we're in support of it?
Because I if
I'm asking.
Well, I'm not.
Okay.
And if the fire department, it'd be great if we had an engineer over here. Boy, would it ever, right? But they're on budget right now. And if they hadn't had to spend $30,000 on a state mandated study, right? Then they would be $30,000 ahead, So, it was wise budgeting, but they're on budget right now.
It was part
Can
of
they
the
hold
the
for another year? I think in another year, if it came back to us with an assessment with 3 years in the JPA, not 2 years in the JPA, I think the people would say, yeah, let's bring it up. But that's just me. I see your point, too. My heart goes that way. Mm-hmm. My pocketbook goes that way.
Rick, do you have any comments?
I personally do support, the endeavors of the fire department. It just kind of reminds me of back in the day. We have a fairly new green community center in this community, and I remember putting Measure C on the ballot for a tax override to support that, and they almost took a rope and hung me. I lost that election that year, and 2 years later it came back. But where there's a will, there's a way, and I think it's a necessary endeavor for the fire department to continue on. But in the community's center incident, it wasn't until the full board was in agreement until that vehicle started to move, and I think. And from that point on, it was about educating the community. And I think if the fire department would, can get the feel of the three cities here that the JPA, and use that vehicle to educate, eventually the community sees it, and will stand behind you in full support.
But Rick, this is part of the process. Is between now and November, if there was going to be an election, the community would be educated. The firefighters would go to the Rotary clubs. They'd go to the Kiwanis. We would be talking about it regularly. If we
community, especially when you coming to a tax override or to assessment, a needs assessment thing. I'm telling you, there's people out there. You even mentioned the word of. Raising taxes, and they'll bring out a rope.
Wow.
And that's just how it is. In this country, that's how it is. But once that education's out there, then this country also steps up to the plate and puts forth. That's
Victor,
all.
We're going to... President, I'm going to need a break.
Yes, let's take a break after this item.
Okay, thank you.
Lori, do you have anything to add?
On this particular item we're talking about with the fire department, I think you're right, the assessment thing is better than the alternative. However, I think it's a little premature with the fact that I agree with Mary, we just had water increases and that type of thing. And is this going to be coming on the election for this year of 2012?
Yes.
Okay. I don't have a problem with making a statement that, yes, we are interested in doing an assessment at a later time. I would like to see this weighed out a little further and the JPA get a little further down the road that would hopefully figure out some other funding ideas and stuff as far as adding personnel. I know it's costly, but I don't know that the people in Oceano are going to be ready to step up and pay a little bit more. However, I don't think it's an expensive amount for an annual deal, but some people, you know, $100 is $100, $60 is $60 to them. So I think it might be a little premature, but I don't have a problem with a letter of support for a future assessment once we get on board, get everybody involved.
Do you have any other comment, Ms. Angelo, Director Angelo?
Did you not hear me?
No, we could hear you. I just wondered if you were done.
I'm sorry. No, I think it's premature to do an assessment, to do anything at this time. I would like to see it pursued down the road a little bit because I think maybe it seems like supposedly the economy is starting to get better. Perhaps another year would be better to try to initiate. Might be more support within the community, too. I understand Rick's concern.
Staff report for tonight.
Yeah, I would like to see a little more time on this. I just think this might be the wrong timing for it. I could be wrong.
We have three options if you look at the alternatives.
Right.
There are three options. And so, what I'm saying is I'm entertaining a motion if there's one.
I move that we revisit an assessment at the Vice's staff at the next fiscal year.
Next fiscal year,
yeah,
after July.
That.
Mary moved that we revisit the assessment in the next fiscal year, which would be after July 1st.
Are you going on a calendar year or a fiscal year?
You said fiscal.
I just wanted to be in tune with him. I'm sorry. I didn't know if it was programmatic, fiscal, calendar, you know.
The fire department operates on a fiscal year. Yeah.
Well, you probably have operated.
Okay, so we talk about July?
Yes. Which, of course, would mean it would not be on this November's ballot.
Okay, what's our deadline for the ballot in June?
Well, I don't know what the deadline is for the ballot, but we wouldn't have enough time to educate the public if
okay,
we decided to put it.
It
on for this November.
But I think the most, if I may.
I'm going to have to think about this for a minute here.
By law, you have to speak to that motion.
What's the pleasure of everyone else?
Can you repeat that, Lori?
What's the consensus on this for the board?
Well, that's what we're entertaining a motion to try to decide what the consensus is.
And the motion is that we print it off until the next fiscal round, which would be next budget year, after July.
Okay, I would second that.
Let's have a roll call vote.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
No.
Director Searcy?
Yes.
Motion carries 3-1 to put it off till the end. In the next fiscal
table
year.
Table it till the next.
Table
it
till the next fiscal year. Yeah, it's 8:02 right now. Why don't we take a break for 10 minutes? Come back at 8:12. Thanks. First district. We'll move on to administrative item number 10B. Discussion review, addendum to the Arroyo Grant.
Meeting with AG on Friday, and this will be part of the discussion. And it just depends on the availability of their council and our council when we can sit down and bang it out. So. That's the status as it is right now.
So almost nothing to report.
Then. No, almost nothing to report.
Okay. Is there any?
A little sidetracked.
Is there any there's been a lot going on lately. Is there any public comments?
Yes, sir. Is Mr. Jeff Edwards?
Mr. Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening again, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. As you know, the city of Arroyo Grande, at their regular city council meeting of February 14th, considered the possible purchase of State Water. And that's something they considered to put on their ballot for this November. Coincidentally, that ballot has a couple provisions. It has a provision for 200 acre feet of State Water as one option, and they're also including 500 acre feet of excess pipeline capacity water. coincidentally, it's about 500 acre feet. That's your water that they're going to put on their ballot. Thought I would make you aware of that. It was a fairly lengthy discussion, in-depth, maybe 45 minutes to an hour. The concluding remark made by the mayor, Tony Ferrara, was that really we can't work with Oceano on water in any kind of anything more than a permanent situation because they have seawater intrusion. So here's the mayor of Arroyo Grande still talking about seawater intrusion in Oceano. This is on February 14th. So clearly the message isn't getting out very quickly. My recommendation in terms of working with Arroyo Grande is as follows. I would encourage your board to identify two board members that could meet with two city council members from Arroyo Grande and talk about the big picture on water between the two communities. I think there are a lot of opportunities, and so that I think is something that could behoove you is to again meet with their city council members jointly. I'd encourage you to watch their meeting. It's very noteworthy. And then I will close by asking, is the 2011 groundwater monitoring report available? I noticed there was an exhibit in a later agenda item, but is the 2011 report prepared by GEI, is that available for the public? And maybe you could
add. And VP Lucy and IGM Gieslin review in detail conditional acceptance with noted changes. I think Director Lucy touched on this earlier, but should I go to you?
Me.
Okay.
There's a couple things that needs to be disclosed to the public. Number one, our budget has been posted since the third month after I got here, and then we had a six-month budget review, and in a past meeting, I reported that we were $190,000 under budget, and the Zone 3 is in the line item in here, along with State Water, and as Director Lucy said before, we review this on a regular basis, and we tie it back not only to their budget, but we tie it to our budget as well. When we got here 6 months ago, we were $380,000 past due on our water bills, and those have all been paid. And if you take that away from everything that we put in place, like I said, we're 15 days out on everything. So that part's there. The other thing I need to disclose to the public is that, and Director Lucy alluded to earlier, we used to be part of a bond program. And this had to do with the Lopez Dam remediation, of which we are contracted to get 303 acre feet a year of Lopez water. And it's broken out between the agencies. And because the past management failed to close the books and failed to get the audits done in a timely manner, we were not included in the bond. We're not included in the bond participation. Now, some people, Director Lucy has pointed out that since we weren't the lead agency, we didn't need to be. But the fact of the matter is it probably would have clouded the issue. And if you remember, when they were doing this, we were coming out of significant financial reform. And so therefore, since I have a little bit of history in putting financial packages together, I probably would agree with the county that it was probably best to keep Oceano out. So they had $800,000 in reserves that bought out our portion, of which we have a loan, and Director Lucy said 4.9. It's actually 4.7% that we pay. So the net result is we have $44,802 of debt service that we have to maintain on this. And that's an annual payment. And then our balance is, there were some other issues about some maintenance and recovery costs that we were being charged for, and we're in deep discussion on some of that stuff. And tomorrow morning, I'll be at a Zone 3 manager's meeting, and we will still have that up. But what I'm asking you to do is approve this with the changes that Director Lucy and I have put on, and then when it goes to the board, Director Lucy's our Zone 3 rep, and then she can vote in good conscience that we're behind this. But we've gone through this quite detailed. It's been tied to both budgets.
Okay.
And any questions?
I don't have any questions. I can follow the agenda item here.
Well, we need to open it for public comment if you guys don't have any questions.
I just want to say that it was, you know, it's much better when you have staff working with you on going through these budgets and able to tie in your budget. And so instead of you sitting there, you know, kind of fuzzing over and reading the budgets,
right.
I was able to capture a lot more working with Tom. And so thank you for taking the time to work through this and you know, overlaying them onto our budgets and stuff and kind of validating areas of concern, you know, you viewing, me reviewing, and then coming back together. So I think it was a good process, and thank you for doing that with me. I agree with you wholeheartedly that we should try to find another loan in FDA. I mean, Food and Drug would be, what did you say? FDA.
USDA.
USDA, right. Yeah. FDA, get a penny out of them, huh? Anyway, so I agree.
That one last thing. This is on our books will be treated as a bond.
Yes.
And because when we're done and once we pay it off, my joke is we'll get 7 bricks in the spillway, but the reality is there'll be nothing for us. We're still partners per the contract. Right. But it'll be structured as a bond, and it won't show up as a liability. It'll be similar to showing up as a lease. And I've reviewed that with county auditors, as well as 2 independent accounting agencies, and our own audit staff, and another independent accountant that we have on contract.
Yeah, that's good. And then also too, by moving that, you know, you have your debt loan to. But I can't make them. I move that we accept the Zone 3 annual budget with the suggested staff recommend changes.
Second.
I think there were 4 or 5 points, right, Tom?
It actually was 3.
3 points?
3 points, okay. Okay. There's a second. Can we get a roll call vote, Carolyn?
Who's the second?
I am.
Director Searcy.
Okay. Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Searcy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes. Item passes 4-0. I'll move on to item 10D, discussion review, audit 2010-2011.
Okay. As I stated before at the last meeting, we had a review and we had some prior year adjustments that we have identified. We had to go to the single audit, and we went and scrubbed all those numbers last week, and those are back now at Moss Levy. They went over actually this morning. Okay. And the push is to get – he's agreed to be proactive and get it, though it is in the middle of tax time, and because he's a government CPA firm too, he had several clients that were redevelopment districts and associations, and so they got a mandate from the state that they had to state all their financial conditions, even though they don't exist anymore because the governor got rid of them. So it's created a minor nightmare for him, but he agreed that because of the changes that we had that he would put them through and we'd get a restatement and updated. And then those, once we get that back from him, we will feed that into the next year's audit, and that's the, I believe that's the remaining piece, and there's no single audit requirement for that. And then I will hand deliver those to you and to the county, and we will be current. And then with 10-11, we will also be able to go in and adjust all the numbers that are wrong between the two computer systems, and you will have a that will be cleaned up. And at that point in time, staff and I will start engaging Caliber again to get that third one done. So my goal is to have both have us current with the two audits by the end of March, and by the close of fiscal year in June, we will have the third
they pass us, will it be draft two or final?
No,
draft?
It'll be final. It'll be for your
final version,
for your version to accept. It'll have the restated ones.
Right.
And I'd like to point out too that the restatement was caught by the staff and by this team, and it's not an anomaly for this to happen. And actually, Celia and Carol Ann and Marie deserve 90% of the credit because they were the ones that, when all the testing went through, they had to go back through and document everything and pull up all the history. And it was a really, really tough effort to do, and I'm extremely proud of them. So
thank you so much.
It's not my credit. It's their credit.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I believe we have
public comment. Board.
Director Angelo?
No, I don't have any at this time.
All right. We'll open it up to public comment at this time, Tom.
Julie Tacker.
Julie?
Thank you, Tom. I put in a slip because I wanted to talk about the item on the agenda, which says discussion and review of audit 2010-2011. We kind of got an update on several years of audits, and what I'm looking for, and only from my experience, when an audit is in draft form, it oftentimes can be seen by the public, and we have committees in Los Osos citizen committees. Our finance committee is made up of two of our board members and five of our local citizens. So when our draft audits come in, we have a committee meeting, and the public's invited, and everyone who wants a copy can have a copy. I recall that on January 25th, Mr. Gieslin gave you a draft audit letter. I don't recall for what year it was. And then at your last meeting, he gave you a draft audit that you also celebrated. But again, it's not available for the public, so it's difficult to follow what progress is being made on which audit. And so, not knowing exactly which audit we're talking about at each time, because now the item on the agenda is for 10-11, I just think a thorough staff report and being able to have
that. Because we're not going to have it in 2 weeks.
I have no problem on that.
Pardon? When will the final version be ready?
We're supposed to have them done by the end of March, so it would be the 28th.
Yeah. The message I heard is that they won't be, they're not going to be completed for the 14th, so we should probably put this on for the 28th.
Yeah. The sooner the better.
Yeah.
Right.
We'll keep the toes to the fire. Moving on to item 10E, rediscussion committee assignment scheduling. You know, I'm going to move to table this. We have two people that are missing this evening. The schedule is here, and the intent was to try to set up some more firm days for some of our special committees so that the public would know when they're going to happen and we can have some of these meetings. Some of these meetings haven't happened since I've been here, so I think that would be. Does anybody have any objection to tabling it until March 14th?
Are you making that motion?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
I was just asking that he said he was going to move to table.
I will be, yeah, but Director Lucy.
That's fine. You can table the overall discussion. I would like you to allow to schedule a personnel committee
meeting. Of course, any meeting could be scheduled at any time with proper notice.
You know, just to kind of, you know, address people's concerns.
Now, I just wanted, what my thinking was is that by doing that, what we would do is make them consistent so that the public, staff,
yes,
the board would know when these things are happening, because once we, if we do them, we'll be able to ferret out issues and make things
right.
So I'll make a motion to table this till the 14th of March.
I'll second that.
Do we need a vote? Do we need a roll call? Does anyone even need a motion
to table
it? To table this until March 14th. Okay, so we have I made a motion. Director Searcy seconded. Can we get a roll call?
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Searcy?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Okay, that passes 4-0. This item will be reappear on the agenda on March 14th. 4-0. 4-0, yeah. Moving on to item 10F, letter of commitment as participating jurisdiction in parenthesis, lead jurisdiction in parenthesis, multi-jurisdictional hazard mitigation plan. Staff recommendation, board approval to allow district participation. Mr. Gieselin, can you give us some background on this?
Yeah, I submitted a letter to you guys in your packet to basically in orchestrated effort with the fire department and the sheriff's department to go through with this. But in order to even proceed, you people have to vote and give me the go-ahead to go do that. And we've identified the hazards. We have to put a planning document together. We have to write an overview of the city. We have to put financials with it. And what this does is right now when we have a problem, we have to go through the county for issues, and then the county manages it. Well, this allows us to work directly with FEMA, so it eliminates that middleman. And I don't need to remind you that when we were getting reimbursements before, that was a little bit scattered, and part of the reason why we went through the single audit in the first place.
Right.
So therefore, we need to... this is in the best interest of Oceano, and we need to move forward with this. So that's what I'm asking you to do. But, and that's basically it in a nutshell.
And I'll note the sanitation district has just gone through making an emergency plan as
right,
well, like
right.
this, as has a Roy Grande, I believe, and right. a Roy Grande. And so this would be a joint.
So we're all doing this, and we're all joint agencies on things, and we're pooling equipment. But the reality of it is I need your approval to go forward.
All right. Is there any public comment on this?
No, it doesn't look like it.
Okay. Is there any board comment? I'll start with Lori. Director Angela, do you have any board comment on this?
No, it sounds like a good idea, though.
Vice President Lucy?
So it's just our emergency preparedness brochure?
No. It's more than that.
It's a plan.
It's a whole plan. An executable plan should any of those events take place.
Okay.
And I understand they have like a schedule of assets, items that are available to the district, tools that we have, property that we own, where we think the weak spots are.
Right.
It's really a comprehensive overview.
It's a very comprehensive plan, and it allows us to deal directly with FEMA so we don't have to go through the county.
Who would be responsible for putting that together for the district?
The staff.
Okay. Mr. Searcy?
I have no comment.
Okay, I'm in support of this, having been through it with the sanitation district.
And
so I think everybody else is doing it isn't exactly the best reason, but
well,
that's everybody
federally
is.
Mandated after right. the Katrina disaster. Emergency preparedness became, you know, the budget.
It's not that.
It's not duplicative work in the same sense. Well,
okay, and I know that there's a couple other coastal towns that also have similar threats that we do, right? And Beverly Beach, Oregon has the same similar problem. Might want to look on their website, see if their plan's done yet.
Well, we have time.
I love cut and paste.
Can't get it.
Oh, that's right. I can't use a computer.
If there's no more discussion, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve item F and take staff's recommendation.
I have a second.
Hold it.
Second.
Wait a minute.
Can I read?
I'm sorry.
There was no public comment.
I want to make sure.
Yes.
Sorry.
That's correct. Go ahead, Mary.
So we're giving staff our blessing to take on this endeavor, right?
That's correct.
Is that what the motion is?
Yes.
Okay. I'll second that.
Can I get a roll call vote, Carolyn?
Yes. Director Searcy?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Angelo? President Guerrero?
Yes. Passes 4-0. I'll be signing that letter this evening later. Moving on to item 10G, purchase of well monitor equipment for well in Cienega Valley. Install costs third and fourth quarter monitoring. So with a staff recommendation of board approval.
Hey,
I'm sorry, can you restate that?
This is the item 10G. There is a staff report on this.
Right.
It's about the well monitor equipment. Mr. Gieslin?
So what you have before you is, in reference to our well monitoring program that is coordinated by the NCMA, they, as you know, we currently monitor the coastal well, sentry well units, which includes two of our backup, it includes one of our production wells, the wells in the depot, the one on Pier Street, the one up in Pismo, the one down on the beach. And what this does, if you look at the map, is at the foot of the mesa, right where there's, it says 20 and 15, there's another well there, right in the middle of the road that the county drilled. But it has no monitoring equipment in it. They test it for water quality and all this other stuff. But in order for us, and we will get monitoring reports every 15 minutes that'll do water quality and all the other stuff that we do in our sentry wells. And the reason why I'm doing this is that this now gives us a control that's away from everything that will clearly identify if there's any other problems. And also part of the state mandated thing is that there's a salt and nutrient plan that we have to have in effect because everybody's worried about nitrates, even though it's in the middle of a farming valley and they're worried about salt and all the other stuff. This will give us that control that we need to do. So I got permission from the county to install the equipment. We will pay for it, and then next fiscal year it will be taken over by the NCMA, and they will split the cost with us. So that's what I'm requesting your permission to do. And I believe we have public comment on this.
Oh, public comment.
Jeff Edwards.
Mr. Edwards has left the building.
Oh, he left?
Yeah.
Oh, darn.
Is there any other public comment? Does he need a ride?
So this is the one well that's outside of our wells that we monitor?
No, it's...
Do we have other ones that aren't ours that we monitor?
If you look at... Well, our wells and their wells is a kind of a... different setup. We actually have physical wells that they monitor. The Pier Street well that had all the problems, that is set up... That actually belongs, I believe, to DWR, the state water deal, and so does the one on the beach. And what they monitor those, and then that's why the county did all that maintenance work on them. So there's a whole series of wells that get checked, but we have nothing out on our border with the mesa that allows us to double check that.
And no, so, I think it's a great idea. Also, too, is that if there's a problem, you can actually get a little closer to identifying it down the line. So the whole thing around pressure and flow and stuff, excellent.
And that's why I'm recommending that we do it, and then we will turn this over, and then it'll get divided up between the other people.
Yeah,
but to me, it was critical to get it done this fiscal year because it's more data to the science.
Right. No, I think the sooner the better.
I just have one question. So, Tom, you're asking for 7,000
seaside. Now, is some of it overkill? Probably, and we can always scale it back, but I think it's imperative that we collect the data from the other, similar to what we're collecting there, so nobody can ever say, hey, you didn't do this. So.
Yeah. And have we ever located the two other monitoring wells on the boundaries here, the ones closer to the beach?
On the beach?
Yeah. On the map, they're pointed out as 12.99 and 16.56.
You know, we personally haven't done that, but all these wells, this map that I gave you,
yes,
is all the known wells that are in our district, NCMA district. And I don't know the conditions of all of them, and quite frankly, that's something that probably should be done. But I can't give you the status of where those two wells are. And I believe Mr. Schneider, that appeared at our meeting last time that had that report, said that he couldn't find two of them either. Mm-hmm. But we can probably go through that if you'd like. It's definitely a NCMA discussion.
Okay. Well, wouldn't that, I mean, ultimately, wouldn't those, would that be a question for the RAC? Since one of their scopes is monitoring of groundwater elevations.
Well, our NCMA is obligated to do that, and it comes out in our annual report.
Uh-huh.
But you've got a lot of farm wells out in that area that don't show up in the data.
Uh-huh.
And this well is key because it's right at the base of the farm.
No, I'm talking about the two mystery wells.
That might fall under the RAC. I don't know.
That's what I'm thinking.
Right. But that's different from the issue that we're discussing in hand.
Yes, it is. Right. But it was just in response to the
right.
missing wells.
Right. I think we should, I can take that as an action item to go get your data on that.
Yeah, I thought that maybe RAC could do that since they do anything else.
Yeah, maybe just a question to the RAC. Okay. And let them.
Well, I'll bring that up at the next workshop.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I don't have any questions. Then. I think it's going to
so,
be.
So, yeah, I guess
and
we
then,
need a
motion. So, I'll make a motion.
So,
to
I say, I think there's a motion, isn't there?
Did somebody make the motion? Why don't we go ahead? Rick was about to make it. Why don't we make it? One second. Okay. We'll just clean it.
I'll make a motion to approve this item and the approval of the $7,150 to enact it.
Second.
Okay, can we get a roll?
On the problem. Yeah, this became a problem.
The property?
Yeah. And I apologize. And I certainly apologize to Mr. Dilworth. We went out and analyzed this project. And at first it was recommend to approve based on the information that we had at the time. And then I needed to call John Wallace in, and we went through the whole project, and we discovered that this is actually kind of a permanent issue with the county, and it's a modification of a building that's been there since the 70s. And during our visit to the property, and the property manager, Mike, is here tonight also as well, a whole bunch of questions popped up that we didn't get answers to, and we had to push back on the county and say, you need to give us answers on this. Mm-hmm. And so I need to pull back until I get answers, and with the song and dance that we've had to go through the last couple of days, this flew under the radar, and I forgot to bring it to everybody's attention at the beginning of the meeting, so I apologize. Uh-huh. But if Mr. Dilworth would like to come to the podium and state what's going on, and if Mike wants an opportunity to talk about it too, it'll give us a better understanding. But I really would like to hold back on approval until the following meeting. So, Mr. Dilworth, you want to come forward?
Perhaps we could put him at the front of the agenda next time. I'll make a motion next time.
What?
Perhaps we could put him at the front.
Yeah, we will. I blew it, and I'm sorry.
We apologize.
I'm sorry about that, sir.
I'm Neil Dilworth, Mr. President, board members. I am an architect. I represent Perry Kime, who is the tenant at 1150 Pike Lane, number 2. It is his application for a building permit to do some work on his unit that triggered the county's request to him that in conjunction with pulling his building permit, we request a will serve letter from you. That's how we wound up before you. Briefly, to help explain things, his application for a building permit is to do some work on his unit, which really involves adding insulation, addressing some safety issues, and actually moving some electrical. It does not involve adding any new space. It does not involve building, fire department. Everybody else has signed off on it at this point, and you turned out to be last in line.
What was the address again, sir?
1150 Pike Lane. And the actual unit number is number 2. The building permit application only addresses unit 2. There are actually 7 units in the 2 buildings on the property.
Mm-hmm. It's industrial, correct?
Yes, it is.
Wait, I think I'm confused. So if we approve this tonight, you're good to go?
We can pull his permit, yes.
Oh.
Did I misunderstand? Basically just insulation and upgrade. You're not changing the footprint?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and be very candid and jump into this here. There have been a whole bunch of issues out there. This whole project started when a different tenant got into an enforcement issue with the county over an illegal kitchen. Ensuing to that, they found a lot of code violations out there on the property, and the question of virtually every unit on the property had some code violations they were then required to address. So every unit out there has been the subject of a building permit, trying to get this all wound up back together, because the building hasn't had a permit issued on it since it was built in 79. In the 32 years it's been out there, some stuff was done. The only real question... the question here that's important that may be addressed is Mr. Keim is actually living in a caretaker's unit within his industrial unit. Gene Habeck built those buildings in 1979. Mr. Keim contracted with him at the time the buildings were under construction to build the caretaker's unit. He was a tenant of Mr. Habeck from, I think it was April 1980, until Mr. Habeck sold the buildings to the Switek's. And he's still there as a tenant for the Switek's. So he's been the only tenant in that space from the beginning. Part of the issue has been, and I'll be careful, right, because it's really not a criticism, but that we got into a lot of trouble, or not trouble, difficulty with the county, because the county's documents about this particular property are both inaccurate and incomplete.
So
part of that is because in 1979 and 1980, the standard for documentation was radically different than it was now. Building inspectors had a huge amount of latitude to make changes, approve things in the field, do stuff. So I opened my office in 1980. That's the way things were done then.
Yeah.
Nothing particularly wrong with it, but it has left us with a paper.
Yeah, they can't go back.
It's just not there.
Yeah.
And it's not a criticism at that point. I mean, if you look at the plans they have for the building, it doesn't even indicate an electrical system.
Wow.
That was left. No, it's 79. It was left entirely up to the inspector to deal with it.
So are they making you call, are they making you bring it up to code for a caretaker's unit? Is that
The caretaker's unit is legal according to planning standards. We are addressing...
Yeah, but it, according
but we
to
are addressing
records,
outstanding code
legal.
Issues that they found there were some electrical issues. Some fire safety issues. This was all, it was a process of lengthy negotiations. We didn't think we should really have to do anything because we felt the unit was legal. They had a different opinion. We talked for a long period of time and came to an accommodation about what we would do in order to move the process ahead, get a building permit, and put the whole thing behind it so Mr. Keim can continue to run his business and live there.
Yeah.
So you need will serve letters from us?
The county requested a will serve letter as part of the process.
Yes,
yes.
It is. Okay. Staff's recommendation?
I didn't understand, Tom. I understood that there were still some issues with the county, but these seem to be cleared up. By
well, no, there are some issues. When we went out to look at the property, and Mike back there was very gracious to... show us around and everything, because he's kind of like the Switek's representative for the management of the properties. And he told us the exact same story and that Mr. Dilwar said, and we have no problem with that. The problem we and I believe that this gentleman has a caretaker's permit, which allows him to live on the property. The problem is that we don't have inspection rights to go in and look, and this is more than just the water side, it's also the fire side. Because if those places go on catch on fire, right, then the fire department's going to come in and they're going to treat it like it's an industrial fire without knowing that somebody lives there. And though this person in this side of the building is right, but the whole Pike area there, you have multiple people living inside multiple of those units. And while nobody was looking and nobody was checking, they were building these loft habitats inside. So the water usage on these properties is set up as commercial. But when you have full kitchens and all this other stuff incorporated into that, go through this with our people and make sure that everything's okay before we give the will serve letter. Because when you have people living in a property, you have certain water requirements that you have to make versus industrial, And I'm not 100% confident that we're in that position at this point in time.
If I may comment.
Can you speak into the microphone?
Yes, speak into the mic, sir.
Okay. If I may comment. Mr. Keim has a history of inspection cards from the fire department. They've been in his home and in his shop and have actually occasionally asked for corrections, and those have been taken care of. So they've been there. Obviously, my point here is I understand you have issues with other properties up and down Pike Lane. I would hope I could help you separate Mr. Keim's individual issue, which has gone through the permitting process, from the other issues that are out there. Because as far as the county is concerned, once the work is done, there are no occupancy issues, fire safety issues, or other issues with his property. Once the permit's issued, the work's done and it's inspected.
Yeah, but our staff has to be able to get into the building and assess it in their way.
Okay. You do have access now. Like I said, the fire department comes by and has inspected it.
Fire departments, they run under a different leadership.
Oh.
Our office runs under our general manager, you know, and he needs more time for access and other investigations. It's only in your best interest and in our best interest. So I say that we table this until 2 weeks, till the next meeting.
Well,
meeting after that.
I've had discussions with the county, and Mr. Dilworth, he's not saying anything inaccurate, nor would I ever say that. I've had discussions with the county, and the gentleman that he's talking about now, everything he said is 100% accurate. The problem that we have is that there's other parts of this building that they had an industrial kitchen in place, and this guy went to get a permit, and they had all this stuff in there. And then when we've examined the water use of the buildings itself, it far exceeds what you would anticipate a caretaker using. So we're not convinced that other people aren't living in other parts of the building, and we need to verify that. And I don't think 2 weeks is out of line. But you can, I mean.
And then now we have, you know, several of these caretaker units, or whatever you want to call them, that are, you know, like you said, 24/7. So, I mean, do we address that in our policy what originally, for industrial use, and there's a certain price for residential?
What originally triggered this was. And I've reported this on the Friday reports. We have issues where we don't, for whatever reason, things are coded the way they're coded. And we've done an audit, and so has the sanitation district. And we're coming up with these anomalies. All right, if it's commercial, why the heck are they using 60 to 70 units of water? Right? There's only supposed to be two bathrooms in there, a male and female bathroom. And all of a sudden, they're using 70 to 80 units of water. How does that happen? And then on analysis, we went and we walked the street. And a big indicator for me was we were counting the electrical meters. And for example, and Mike can attest to this as well, there's seven units in this deal. But I believe there was, what, nine electrical units?
Seven in that particular unit. There was seven on that side. We're going to address what's on the agenda on those two buildings.
Yeah.
There's seven only.
There's seven only.
Correct.
So.
And that's what's at issue, and that's the ones that have already been permitted.
Right.
With the exception of Mr. Perry's residence.
Right.
And they've already been permitted, approved, filed, done.
Right.
They're already done through the county. The only thing that is an issue is the caretaker's unit.
But when you look at the surrounding buildings. One case, there's 20 electrical units, which means that people have electricity for their building and then they have electricity for their lofts, and people are living in the lofts. And I've talked to the fire department about it, and they said it's a legitimate concern. If you want to approve this, and I can take the investigation, you know, so he can close out his permit, everything he said is accurate, but I just wanted a little bit more time. But I can still conduct the investigation.
I say we give them the will serve letter.
I say we table it.
President Guerrero?
Yes, go ahead, Director Angelo.
I'm kind of familiar. familiar with that area down there. What's the address, the actual street address of this project?
1150 Pike Lane.
1150?
Yes.
Okay. There now, but I've got a pretty good idea of stuff down there.
Okay.
So I'd like to see this held for a week or two on this would be probably sufficient.
Director Searcy, do you have any comment here?
I kind of agree that, you know, with staff and table this item. What date did you say, Tom?
March 14th.
Yeah, and the only thing I would like to see is, you know, kind of the money issue here. We, you know, if we have an industrial water use or do we have a residential water use? And
well, caretakers are approved for those buildings. It's similar to a storage facility that has a place for their caretaker. Okay. He is caretaker permitted. I verified that with the county.
Okay.
They know it well. The issue is, I just want to take the extra time to verify a few other things. And
yeah.
I forgot all about that this was on here, and I apologize to the people that were here. But I really just would like to take this extra time. Right. And it's nothing against Mr. Dilworth. I'm still going to recommend you approve it, but I just want to verify a couple other things.
Okay. And one of your concerns was the high rate of water use and,
mm-hmm.
and those things. And,
right.
You know, I mean, the business might be a detail shop that was washing cars, or it could be that they use a lot of water in their particular type of business.
Yeah, it could be.
And also, I'd be willing to put it at the top of the agenda.
Yeah, no, I would definitely make sure that would be the case.
All right.
Because I feel bad making you wait.
Right. Then I'd make a motion to delay this action until the...
March 14th?
March 14th.
Is there a second?
Second.
We get a roll call vote.
Director Searcy?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
No. I'd give it to him tonight.
He's the oddball tonight.
I am. I'm the guy out, yeah.
Welcome to the club.
Thank you, sir. We'll have you up on the top of the agenda next time. Moving on to item number 13, is there public comment? Barbara Mann. Come on up, Barbara. How are you doing?
And Barbara, in the future, too, you know, under the Americans with Disability Act, we can make accommodations. Not to be confused with, you know, the Brown Act.
Brain damage.
Drain damage.
Barbara Mann. I just wanted to close out the evening with a little story here. A number of years ago, we were getting ready to get a new general manager, and it was pretty controversial. And we had a gentleman stand up in the audience and say, "You folks need to look for a white knight on a silver stallion to be your general manager." And we thought, you know, that guy's pretty smart, what he said. But then we started down the slippery slope of general managers. We had an interim general manager, and then we had a general manager, and then we had an interim general manager, and then back on that slippery slope, we had another general manager. Well, I think you guys have now found your knight in white on his silver horse, and I hope that you act upon that and pick a winner. It's about time. And, you know, not any disrespect to this board or prior boards or staff, but we're really lucky this time, and I want to see us move forward. And it's really nice to be able to say this to the residents of Oceana. We're the ones that have to live with the general manager. And it's nice that he is supported by the residents of Oceana. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you for coming out tonight.
Is there any other public comment, Tom?
No, not at this time.
Board member,
just one more.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't have a ticket.
Mr. Smith, you don't need a ticket, actually.
We recycled Bill Freedom.
We moved you back to the top. So.
Okay.
Good evening, Mr. Smith.
Bill Smith, is it possible that you could put on the agenda for next week to hire Tom?
I mean, don't
dilly around. You're going to hire him anyway.
At the end, I'd like to propose that we have a personnel committee meeting on February 27th, which is a Monday, and I'd ask that everybody check their schedules. We do have policies and procedures in place for...
That's fair.
You know, and then that way everybody can come and...
Yeah, okay.
You know, but that's what I'm proposing at this time.
Yeah.
Now I got to check schedules and make sure that, you know, the powers to be are notified, you know.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Sounds good.
Thank you,
Mr.
Bill.
Smith.
Marie?
He doesn't have a silver horse, but he does drive a silver car. But I do have another comment that I'd like to make. When Tom was interviewed and spoke about being the interim general manager, he put together 6 different areas that he felt needed working on in OCSD. And there's 30 items in those 6 categories. I very conservatively have gone through the list of the 30 items, and I've come up with completions on 13 of them and ongoings on 17 of them. And I would imagine maybe some people would lean in the other direction. But I think that says a lot for 6 months' worth of work. And yeah, the staff has supported him, and he couldn't have done it without all of us, but we've had the support of the board and all the people in the field and the people in the office and the people from the community, too. So I think that says a lot for 6 months' worth of work.
Well, he's done a hell of a lot since he's been here, but these two back here kind of burn my hair on my B-U-T-T.
And you know what? It's really nice to hear, Marie, hear your comments. I really appreciate that, because you're on the ground level. You're here, you know, you and Carol Ann and Celia and the guys are just like they're out in the field, so it's important.
This is Tom's list, but you should have seen what was on the whiteboard in his office, too. A lot of it wasn't even on this list, so there's lots of things that have been taken care of besides just these two.
Thank you very much.
My new favorite phrase is, the driveway makes it all the way to the street.
So. Mine's don't let the bastards wear you down.
Grind you down.
I got it right here.
As far as board member items for the next board agenda meeting, I want to add a couple of things. One, I mentioned it earlier. I want to make a motion to board member discussion. Did I skip something?
No.
I want a discussion. Okay.
Your time up, buddy.
Going home. How do I phrase this? Because let me make it clear. The second part of this is two-part. The second part of this is add a review of the IGM position with the specific items that it include compensation, which would go back to January 1st.
I think the first item would be voiding the action that was taken in the closed session on...
February 8th, 2012. It was item 11.
You have discussion on that and put it up. And then go on to what you want to do.
Okay.
And the discussion, it can be closed session, can be open. I think that they're probably, depending on the right side on the compensation issue, should be in open session.
Okay.
But the rest of the discussion can be all done in closed session.
We're still here, Lori.
I got quiet. I'm going, uh-oh.
And then, Matt, that was the plan for the Monday meeting, is to discuss that job description and the policies and procedures on which road are we taking to get there quickest.
And if the personnel committee could bring us back a recommendation, I think that'd be perfect.
I actually have it right here.
That's okay. We'll bring it back on March 14th.
Yeah, I do have recommendations and stuff. And
those are the two things that I wanted on that.
Mary, do you want a draft general manager contract to be looking at
one.
And messing? You have one?
I had one, and I've been just making the changes and
you had one, a recent version?
Recent within the last month.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
I kept the one that was given as a sample, a draft, or
before February when we went down the other road.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the latest version of. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying by doing this, I just want everybody to know, I'm not saying by doing this that I'm conceding that we did it incorrectly in the first place. What I'm saying is that let's just take away any point of contention for anybody
right.
from inside or outside of the community. I think it's pretty clear where my position is on this, but we'll wait till the board discussion at that time.
Yeah.
And we'll make sure that it's all done the right way.
It will be transparent, but I have to tell you is that I believe that people have the right to privacy, and when it comes to their
right.
their personnel files and stuff, they right. have
Absolutely.
The right to privacy.
And
but there is certain public information in compensation, and what goes along with that is that. But as far as
and we did publish everything. It in the minutes. It was announced. You know, it just wasn't part of the discussion.
It was outreach. It was the compensation issue, I think, that was
okay.
the real issue.
Yeah.
Everything else is completely within closed session. It was
yes.
simply the compensation issue.
So
yeah.
we'll get to the same result. We'll just
another,
take a little longer to get there.
Yeah. Another issue that's been brought to my attention is that we'll have our meetings Wednesday and discuss something and vote on it. And there'll be people at the counter at 9:30 Thursday morning demanding the document, saying that's within reason. Well, it's just right there. Why can't they just give it to me? Mm. And I am sorry, you know. I don't think that's enough time.
Right. Well,
so I don't know when we discuss that.
Is it 7 days? Is that the reasonable time?
You know, I don't know. You know, I'm supposed to be the one that doesn't even know how to know the difference that, you know, Robert's Rules of Order are in the Brown Act, you know.
I heard that.
Yeah, after my two glasses of wine. Three!
Is there any other board items for the next agenda?
Well, are we under discussion still?
Oh, we're sorry, we're still under board member discussion.
You know, in the beginning of the meeting, I wanted to recognize the Everyday Church, but I also like to recognize the letter came
letter.
In from Old Juan's Cantina. That be put into the minutes.
That I is, think it's unwritten communication.
Okay.
It's number 16.
And then there was an issues of, you know, I from what I gathered from the public, issues of information like draft letters and whether those come from our staff. And basically I kind of feel that that's the board's obligation to review those and work those out and come up with a final documentation that we can present to the public. And so I don't see why the public feels that they need to, I mean, they elected us to do that work. And if we're putting out all this, you know, our drafts and they want to put their input in, maybe they, I don't understand their reasoning for all that information. At the end of the day, we give them the final document. And that's our position. But in the draft, there might be something that us board members want to change, or there's different issues. And as you know, here recently, the media doesn't have to stand up to Robert's Rules and Regulations or the Brown Act. You know, they can put all the correct information out there, and right at the end, they can take a cheap shot at you. And nobody says nothing about that. I mean, they don't get reprimanded, and they're not held under scrutiny for those kind of actions. And so I think those kind of issues of, you know, everything you write, next thing you know, they want our notes up here that we write down. And, you know, it's just...
So no notes?
Yeah, no
My
notes.
Advice,
we
no
don't,
notes.
We really don't. We just doodle up here. So... but that's my comments on some of the issues that I heard tonight, and I think we should just take it with a grain of salt. And
well, I think Karen White wants to disagree with you about media responsibility. You know, I think that I've also worked in media as well, and that there is an effort on behalf of most media organizations, most reporters, to put truthful, verifiable information. I think Karen would agree with me. I had come forward, I know, now this is definitely a discussion, but I had come forward with information to the media before that I had, and if they couldn't verify it, they wouldn't print it. And that was specifically with KCOY. I had the information firsthand, but they needed to verify it, they wouldn't print it or publish it. So there are some, you know.
Yeah.
There's some, I don't know what you call it, a code of ethics, Karen? Yeah, libel and slander laws right there. So, gosh, I had another. Oh, I wanted to thank everybody from the community who came out tonight. She gave us a real show of support. I receive numerous emails, telephone calls, correspondence, people walking up to me every week. Joe Shakura, lots of different people who give me ideas, tell me things, good, bad, or indifferent. And I just want to encourage anybody that contact me. Feel free to call. Feel free to write, send me an email, whatever it is, and I answer back. So, not always quickly, but yeah, go ahead, Mr. Smith.
Do you charge for papers that somebody comes in and wants?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
So I think it was 25 cents a page, was that what
the? The procedure that we've adopted, because we've had problems with this before, when somebody makes a public records request, and they ask for it electronically, but with spam folders and all this other stuff, they can always say they never got it. And so what we do is we make the copies and then send them out, like Ms. Tacker said, in return receipt requested, so I get confirmation that they're there. And why, we also include an
Why can't they come down and pick them up?
Well, my counsel wants me to have that done.
Oh.
But the reality of it is, we've already expended a lot of time putting it all together. We send it return receipts, so there's no argument. And it comes back and it says, yes, we signed for it. We include an invoice in it. As she paid tonight. We have some people that never pay it.
Yeah. I think you're too cheap.
Well,
I went down to Social Security a couple of years ago, and I got my work record for 30 years printed out. The girl pushed a button and click, 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 and she handed it to me, stamped it, official of Social Security, and I said, thank you. And I misplaced it, and I went back, and they want $5 a sheet.
Well,
I think we're
held by a policy where we have 25 cents a copy. And I could bring a new deal to the
no,
deal.
No, that's all right. It's.
I think we're limiting
the
reasonable cost.
The council wants me to have to come pick it up, but I'm trying to keep as productive as possible, so we use the mail.
I understand that.
Are there any, let's turn to item, is there any other board member discussion? Director Angelo?
No, I think we've covered it all pretty much.
Okay, I'll go to item number 15, board member items for the next board meeting agenda. I got out of order. I already put my 2 cents in. Anybody else have any board member items?
I think we need to maybe schedule, maybe just a Brown Act refresher.
Oh, yes. Because we were going to do one in
I
February.
I think that might be, well received by all.
Let's pick a date.
Let's pick a date now.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the problem. March
17th. And then we'll put Lori on phone.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Okay, so I have my calendar.
I was going to suggest a Saturday.
Because our lovely staff has made me one. I love it.
I've gone the last week of March.
I've got all those meetings.
You've gone the last week of March? I was going to suggest the 17th, the Saturday morning,
okay.
9:30 a.m. That same. Oh, I take that back.
So then,
yeah,
it would be the Green Act.
It would be the Green Act, yes.
And you got the board,
we'll
and you got
beer.
Zone 3, and you got the fire meeting that week, and then you want us to...
Yeah, it's a good point.
Come on now.
All right, well, the 10th or the 24th, I mean, those are Saturdays.
Yeah.
But Molly said she's going out of town. I don't want to...
I'm leaving the 25th. I think the 24th
what's
is
What's going on the first week of March?
25th yeah, what's okay. What's the 3rd look like for people? I know I have a party to go to Saturday, but... Hee-haw. Margaritas.
3rd or the 24th? I don't care.
3rd is fine. Either one is fine with me.
3rd.
24th.
What day, Molly?
Either the 3rd or 24th is fine with me.
Didn't you just do the Brown Act last year?
Yeah, we can do it
year
once a year.
We've got two new, yeah, but we got two new directors and new general manager. And,
yes. And plus, mine don't count. So the 3 days I did in San Francisco.
I heard that April.
I heard that Templeton. Too. I vote for the 3rd.
No, we need to have it.
I like the 3rd, too.
Because we do it before the next
third.
Meeting.
Okay, 3rd's good.
Let's bang it. 3rd of March, 10 a.m.
That's a week from this Saturday.
10 a.m.?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Great.
10 a.m., March 3rd.
What time?
10 a.m., March 3rd. Public's invited, although not allowed to participate, is my understanding.
And posted. We'd post it.
We'll post it. Yeah, here at the boardroom, OCSD.
Oh. 2 hour training, or what do you think we need?
Now, are we going
to. Up to 2. Budget 2 hours.
We'll take 10 to 12.
Can we pick apart, like, we'll at this training, we'll just do, you know, Robert's Rules of Order?
I'm going to add that and let me know what else you want.
Well, I think that if we
can.
Yeah, and then also another thing I'd like you to consider is, you know, maybe a parliamentarian might be something of value to the board to have a parliamentarian here. Well, we do our board just to. I've seen them be very beneficial, and then I've seen them be kind of a waste of money. So, but it's a discussion point that we could have in the training.
Okay.
Parliamentarian versus legal counsel, you know.
Okay.
Because then we don't always look to Molly, you know, but a parliamentarian will facilitate you out of a bind.
Okay.
It's actually not a bad idea.
I only know the only thing I know about this procedure is how we do it here. So this has been my training.
But the parliamentary keeps going.
What'd you say about the Mollies?
All right, time. It is written communications. We did receive this from Adam Verdin, Old Juan's Cantina. Very nice letter. It's lodged with our packet. Is there any other written communication?
Yeah, we had the. Letter from the office of the mayor of the city of Arroyo Grande about the us contributing money to their diversity coalition, and we received it. It's for your review, and I can put that on the agenda next week.
Well, why don't we put that on the agenda, because the issue there is whether or not we want to join it and whether or not we want to add contribute to the funding of that.
And the other thing is the written information that we received from Ms. Tacker putting us on notice. In the written, is it? You sure?
We have that agendized.
Did we handle the?
But there's the Kevin P. Rice one.
That's
well.
What I'm talking about. Yeah.
Same issue.
It's the same issue, and so
and
that
we're corrected,
legally
fixed.
We're okay by, because she's quoting time periods that I'm totally unfamiliar with.
30 days.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. The 30-day was a time period there, according to Molly.
I move that
correct.
We.
Adjourn?
Adjourn.
A second. All in favor?
Aye.
Yay.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you.